Pick one.
The Big Bang Theory is one of the most popular shows on television, loved by millions of people all over the world. I've got access to everything you don't normally see that brings the show to life every week.
Obviously, as soon as I got into set, I was very excited and walked down the stairs.
From the secrets of the wardrobe room...
I know! If this is missing when you leave, you're in trouble.
...to watching the cast record the show.
Isn't it fun to learn things? You're learning things every second.
This is great, actually.
Cutouts of the show's characters alongside science-related drawings. The Big Bang Theory. Access all areas. Presented by Rick Edwards.
Welcome to The Big Bang Theory. Access all areas. Within reason. I can't just go waltzing into the ladies' loos or ladies' restaurants, whatever they call them. Luckily for you, I am allowed to waltz onto the set to meet the cast, and I'll be starting with the tough questions.
Which character do you most enjoy shooting scenes with?
Oh, goodness, that is Sophie's Choice.
Who makes you laugh the most when you're doing scenes with them?
Who makes me laugh the most?
Favorite people to work with?
Yeah.
How can I answer that?
Just try and start World War III on this set? I'm not going to answer that.
Kunal. Diva.
Kunal, I don't like working with at all.
No, sure. He, to be fair, said the same.
I'm sure he did.
Johnny Galecki, just outrageous.
Who makes me laugh the most?
You can say none of them.
I know, I'm racking my brain right now. I can't even remember their names.
Simon, another diva.
I'm going to be diplomatic and say the cast.
Yeah.
Or none is probably better. Or myself. You should hear the things I say. Yeah.
But I don't want to bag on anyone. I mean, I enjoy them all equally.
It's a little bit like joining high school.
Boy, you were not liked in high school, were you?
Not really. Is that my yearbook?
Mm-hmm. Dear Leonard, you're really good at science. Maybe one day you'll come up with a cure for being a dork.
Okay. Jokes aside, what I really want to know is how they go about making the show each week.
We start on Wednesday mornings. Yep. We do the table read, which is all the actors and producers and writers.
We read the script and we laugh.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
Hopefully. And that's usually when we find out what's going to be happening. So it's as much a surprise to us as everyone else.
The writers take notes of what seems to work well, what didn't work, and they go off to start rewriting.
Thursdays and Fridays we rehearse more, get it on its feet, and do run-throughs for producers and network and studio.
That's when rewrites come through, so sometimes the script will change by as much as, I'd say, a third, and then we have a weekend in between to learn our lines.
Monday, we rehearse with cameras.
I prefer 20 minutes of rehearsal, but these guys need hours.
Yeah.
So,
well,
anyway.
I mean, you're a consummate professional.
This
is what a lot of people have been saying.
And we do the Tuesday night live audience taping.
Yeah.
Take our bow and they immediately hand us a warm manila envelope with the next morning script in it.
So that's the actors' week from start to finish. But before they can do any rehearsing or recording, they're gonna need a script.
Oh, but there is an original final draft Ghostbusters script with actual slime stains.
Oh, you're right, it's Ghostbusters 2, never mind.
Each and every episode of The Big Bang Theory starts in this building, in the writer's room. Led by creators Bill Prady and Chuck Lorre, the team have to conjure up new and exciting ways of making us laugh.
Ooh, dark matter, we better bring a flashlight.
And if anyone knows the pressure of writing a hit show, it is Chuck Lorre, who also created 2.5 Men.
How do you keep coming up with ideas that feel fresh and interesting when you've made 100 episodes of a show?
Desperation and fear is a good motivator. It's like running through a tunnel with a train behind you for 9 months. You can't stop.
All aboard! Woo! Woo!
How much does the script change from when you kind of do your first table read?
About 30-40%.
Yeah. Is that quite typical?
Oh, gosh, I've been on shows where it changed 100% from table to shoot night. 120%, you know.
I've never seen a show consistently where what we read at the table is so funny
that the rewriting becomes a minimal amount.
I can't seem to get in touch with Amy. I tried email, video chat, tweeting her, posting on her Facebook wall, texting her, nothing.
Did you try calling her on the telephone?
The telephone.
It's very common on a lot of shows where what we read on the first day, Monday, there's not one word from that script that's there on Friday.
Okay.
We hear all the time the condition our scripts come in, the good condition they come in, it's an anomaly. And it makes a difference, you know. I mean, they're not perfect. Every once in a while, we've certainly had scripts that we've had to work on more and have more changes during the week than others, and those are rough weeks.
Guys, we are going to do a different line there.
And if life like that was always like that here, it'd be a tear-your-hair-out experience, I think. On the flip side, now I'm a little spoiled.
Why do you even want this here? Its size is completely disproportionate to its purpose.
Seeing as its purpose was to piss you off, I'd say it's spot on.
A massive desk.
Now, the writing's one thing. Sure, it's very good, but then every show has writers. But a show that features a theoretical physicist, an astrophysicist, an experimental physicist, a neurobiologist, a microbiologist, and a Howard Wolowitz, obviously needs to use a lot of sciencey language that us at home can barely understand. Now, luckily, the actors and writers have someone to help them to ensure they don't embarrass themselves by saying loop quantum gravity when they mean string theory. And trust me, that is funny. I checked.
I will graciously overlook the fact that she is an arrogant, subpar scientist who actually believes loop quantum gravity better unites quantum mechanics with general relativity than does string theory.
And how do you deal with all the kind of scientific content of the show? Do you just kind of leave blanks and then go?
We have a brilliant astrophysicist named David Salzberg, who's a professor at UCLA.
I basically get every script in advance and I look it over, and the writers actually know a lot of science and fill out what they want, and maybe it'll just need a little tiny tweak here and there, a change of word. Other times they'll say science to come.
What is physics? We're going to be designing an experiment to look for the annihilation spectrum resulting from dark matter collisions in space.
My tests of the Aronoff bomb quantum interference effect have reached an interesting point.
Force, Earth gravity, equals mass times 9.8 meters per second per second.
Right now we're testing the phase shift due to an electric potential.
Our 9.8 meters per second squared as A, and we get
hermetic theory, algebraic gossip, and epidemiology.
Time-dependent backgrounds and string theory.
Howard says you're working on fundamental tests of quantum mechanics?
Specifically quantum field theory and d-dimensional de Sitter space.
I preserved it in a 1% solution of polyvinyl acetyl resin.
Oh my god, that's the most romantic thing anyone's ever said to me that I didn't understand.
And now we have Maya Bialik, who is, is
a neuroscientist.
Neuroscientist, so she tells us when we're wrong in that area.
When it comes to neuroscience and neurobiology, I guess I'm the unofficial
authority.
Yeah.
Come on, tumor. Mama needs an aggressive little glioblastoma.
Did you ever think that you would start using your neuroscience again? In this way?
No. Since getting my PhD, I never thought I would be acting as a neuroscientist. No.
Amy's at the dry cleaners, and she's made a very amusing pun. I don't care for perchloroethylene, and I don't like glycol ether.
Personally, I like the physics that's out there and incomprehensible, but I think I really like when it's physics that's sort of what we call freshman physics.
We don't need strength. We're physicists. We are the intellectual descendants of Archimedes. Give me a fulcrum and a lever and I can move the earth. It's just a matter, I don't have this.
It's something that so many people have been exposed to in some way, and so there's a chance of knowing what's going on. And
the heavy box slides down the stairs.
Ah, gravity, thou art a heartless bitch.
And frankly, if people disagree with the science, they can send a letter to Dr. Salzberg or Dr. Bialik.
There's nothing wrong with the science here.
Perhaps you mean a different thing than I do when you say science.
Fashion's probably not the first thing that springs to mind when you think of the Big Bang Theory, but for a show that's about some pretty unfashionable guys, they do all have their own distinctive style, from Sheldon's T-shirts to Howard's eye-wateringly tight trousers. They do stand out in a crowd.
A montage of the characters in their colourful outfits.
So I assume this is all divided up into different characters.
Yes, we call them character closets. Sheldon, starting with the plaid pants, of course.
Yes.
and then all of his t-shirts back here. He's got his Green Lantern and Flash shirts.
He's got a lot of t-shirts. They've all got a lot of clothes, to be fair.
Oh, yes.
Do you have a favorite Sheldon piece?
I like this.
Yes, that's nice. The evolution of man into a robot is nice.
It screams Sheldon to me.
Wow.
I really like Raj's outfits because I like the fact that I think he looks quite cool.
They all bridge cool, except I throw something else that just ruins it all.
I think he thinks it's pretty cool. When Raj first came to America, he was dressed head to toe in Miami Vice clothes because that was a big popular show in India at that time.
Yeah. What about arguably my favorite character, dress-wise and otherwise, Howard? Where's his stuff?
He's got a room to himself.
Of course he has.
Hey, qu'est-ce que ça?
Howard in big collared shirts, roll neck jumpers, and silk pajamas.
Look at that.
The reflective. I know.
Look at
that. If
this
is missing when you leave,
you're
in trouble.
There was one outfit he wore when he wore an eye patch and leather pants.
The guy's a hero.
Flowy blouse. Yeah, he pulled it off.
Hello, boys.
I would say he's a clothes horse. Whore or horse? I don't know.
I think horse.
I think for him, let's say whore.
Well, I want to blend in. Do what? Toy Story?
This
I think
is Leonard.
I recognize these chords. Yeah.
Yes. He
a
always...
muted rainbow.
Yes, muted. He's got a little bit of a bucket of water thrown on him compared to some of the other characters.
Is this all stuff you want me to try on?
No, this is stuff I want you to throw out.
When I had to dress up as Supergirl, that was especially liberating.
Mm. I don't know about you, but I feel empowered.
Come on, I made that look good. Yeah. Come on.
I'm Batman.
Superhero costumes, monkey masks, Raj dressed as Thor, Howard in a spandex wrestling suit, and Sheldon as the Flash, running at hyperspeed.
Don't go anywhere, please, because we've got more of the Big Bang Theory access all areas, within reason, for you after the break. Coming up.
I learned the secrets of the stairway.
Once you've got down, you're just sort of standing against the wall here.
And take my place in the audience to watch the cast record the show.
I have no idea what that line is.
Well,
you
I messed
yourself,
up mine too a little bit.
Lose yourself. Go.
Welcome back to the Big Bang Theory Access All Areas.
Camera!
Does anyone have any wood? Come on! I just want wood. Why are you making it so hard?
OK, we've got the writing, the science, the wardrobe and the actors, but the world of the Big Bang Theory wouldn't be complete without the incredibly detailed set.
Designed by legendary production designer John Schaffner, who designed the famous Friends set, amongst others, the sets each have their own special charm.
Actually, my favourite set is the hallway between the two apartments. The producers wanted this walk and talk in the stairwell. Well, we built the set, and Chuck and Bill came down, and they looked at it and said, we really need to see the stairway go down. So I was like, oh dear. So I said, I'm not authorized by the studio to cut a hole in the floor. So they went to the studio and said, we need to cut a hole in the floor. So that's how we came about with building the staircase that actually goes down about 6 feet. If you get to the bottom of the stair and make a corner, there's dirt and there's a wall full of gum on it. From the actors is the way to go on, then they put their gum on the wall.
So
it's sort of beginning to look like the underside of a table in a cheap diner.
Obviously, as soon as I got into the set, I was very excited and walked down the stairs. And I was amazed at how little the gap is to fit in. Once you've got down, you're just sort of standing against the wall here.
And the other thing about it was is in trying to give him enough space between the two apartments so there'd be working space for a scene, I put this elevator in the middle, and I showed it to Chuck and Bill, and they said, well, we don't want the elevator because, you know, why would they walk up and down the stairs? And I said, because it's always broken. The landlord has never fixed it.
Give me that.
Sheldon puts a canister of fuel in the elevator.
What'd you do that for? I had plenty of time.
So this is it. I've chatted to the cast and crew. I've poked around behind the scenes. I know exactly how the Big Bang Theory gets made. All I've got to do now is take my place in the audience and watch them actually record the show. This is about as exciting as it gets for a Big Bang fan. In a way, I wish you could be it. In another way, I don't, because you'd be in my seat. What I can promise is that I'll really enjoy it for you.
Rick sits in the audience.
Excuse me. Sorry.
OK, hold the over, Richard. Ladies and gentlemen, round of applause. Are you ready to meet our cast? Let's hear it. Say hi to Miles the Alex.
It's just so electric in here on our tape night. It's very exciting to have that energy from the audience.
Keep it going for Penelope Air.
Oh, it's amazing. I love it.
It's great. It's sort of like a short play every week.
I wouldn't be half as happy as I am here if we didn't have that live audience.
And Sheldon, the magnificent Jim Parsons.
It does add that element of surprise, and it does add some adrenaline.
Cameras A, B, C, X. Common mark.
Here we go, and action!
I don't think I could ever get a massage from a guy.
Really? What was I doing to your neck last night while you were playing Xbox?
Still killing me.
We always hear comments like, oh my god, that laugh track is driving me crazy. And it's like, it's not a laugh track, it's real people.
Where's Howard?
No, hi, Raj. No, how are you, Raj? Straight to where's the other white guy?
When I watch scenes on every show, when you know there's not a live audience, there's just, it's just slightly soulless. Like, something's missing. They are a tangible presence in the room, almost like another character.
Some of my favorite scenes, which also seem to be some of fans' favorite scenes between Amy and Sheldon, do not play that way all week. The way you see them on TV is the way that the studio audience determines that they get played. There's nothing like people seeing, Sheldon and Amy kiss for the first time. You can't gauge that.
Amy kisses Sheldon.
Fascinating.
And for me, that's really where a scene gets life that it doesn't have for the previous 5 days.
It's like I'm living in a dictatorship. You must take a vacation. You must have fun. You must enjoy life.
I don't think you have a good handle on dictatorships.
There are moments that you can't help get carried away. Like you would in theater. You try to
be professional.
You try to keep your pants on.
Yeah. It's not always possible.
No, it's not. But we do our best.
The audience is amazing because they give you instant reaction.
And, you know, they don't lie. They'll tell you immediately if something is working or not.
I am the king of nerds.
Leonard's on a date with Penny.
What does that mean?
Oh, that means if anyone displeases me, I can arrange to have their email inbox spammed.
And we do quite a bit of rewriting here on the fly with them.
It means if anyone displeases me, I don't help them set up their printer.
You have to listen for the audience to kind of get the rhythm of it, and then we wait for the laugh. And sometimes it never comes.
Yeah.
And then we cry a little bit.
Guys?
Yeah,
guys?
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm like, no, it's going to come. I know it's been 10 minutes. Trust me, though.
I've been doing this for a really long time, and it's humbling how often the studio audience will tell you that what you thought was hilarious is not hilarious, and what you thought was is fabulous.
I just don't know how I'm going to break it to him.
How about topless? Well, you waggle those puppies in his face, I bet you get him to join the Marines.
I think this is good. I don't know. I hope it's good. I don't know. It's not good. Yeah. The audience will tell us it's not good, and we'll fix it.
Just don't know how I'm going to break it to him.
Hey, you know, I'm a big believer in breaking bad news to a guy when you're in bed with him. That's how I told my high school boyfriend I slept with his brother. That's how I told his brother the same thing.
You can't anticipate what other people are going to respond to. And if you think you can, you're crazy.
Time and again, we've run into situations where, with Sheldon specifically, where it's like, that's just coming off too mean. Mm. You know, they're not laughing. They're going, oh, you know. And that's not the intent. You know, Sheldon's not cruel.
No,
you know,
no.
Sheldon's honest. That's just one example.
When instead of a laugh, there's a kind of a...
Yeah. Yeah. Then what are we doing?
Richard Feynman was a famous American physicist, part of the Manhattan Project.
Everyone in the world of science knows who Richard Feynman was.
Now you do too.
In front of the audience, most of us can stay pretty focused, but it's some of the playfulness, like that Jim and I have, that really kind of bring out some of the giggles.
Stop it. She broke that. It was fine. You control yourself.
All right, here we go. And
are there times when you do just totally lose it, even though the audience are there?
Oh, and as far as like getting the church giggles and you just can't, Well, that's Kunal is the worst at that. He cracks himself up constantly.
Follow your heart.
The audience laughs at Raj's line to Howard. Raj stifles his laughter, but soon cracks up and shakes his head. Leonard reaches out across the canteen table and takes his hand comfortingly.
I'm the worst.
I've heard that.
That's why you asked me this question. This is like a big setup.
Yeah, it's leading. Like, it's leading.
Screwing me, yeah. No, it's so bad. Like, it's because I'm having the most fun.
Yeah.
No, it's probably because I'm the most unprofessional. But
he can't stop laughing at his own jokes. And so I'll come over and whisper to him, sometimes babies die. And that steals him up.
When I first got here, can I take it right from there?
Right from there, okay, Mark?
English is tough.
I'm going to be doing some brainstem histology while you get yourself on the, I have no idea what that line is, while you
I messed up mine too.
Place yourself, go.
There's a live audience, and when they are enjoying it and their laughter is sincere and genuine and loud, that's a great sense of gratification.
Too much?
No.
And that's a cut.
Come on, give a shout.
The cast members hug.
We have a wonderfully loyal audience, and there's a bond there over 5 years. You gave us your half hour to watch the show. I want you to come away feeling like it was a half hour well spent.
What an experience. I genuinely feel very lucky to have gained this insight into the making of the show. Turns out it's both complicated and fun in roughly equal measure.
But I think I'll leave the final word on the last 100 episodes to the cast.
What are you tuning in for every week? It's not the story in the sense of what will happen this week as much as it is whatever happens, I want to see what these people do.
Here we are 5 years later.
Really close, and 100 episodes, that's over 500 days here in the same room with the same people.
Part of the reason we're still here is it's a great cast. These are really talented actors, and they can do anything we ask them to do.
They couldn't be a nicer group of people. They were just so welcoming.
And the fact that, you know, nobody's killed another person.
It's a real achievement.
Yeah, it's a real achievement.